The Holy Gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, according to Mark. Now, after John the Baptist was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." As Jesus passed along by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. This is the gospel of the Lord.
In the name of the God who calls us into community, into love, in the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Please be seated. Now, Jonah's story is often excerpted, which is a weird word, as it is this morning, which if you just read this morning's part of Jonah, it's kind of like hearing that the movie Gone Girl is about a nice married couple. Otherwise, Jonah, if it's not excerpted like this, it's pointed to as an example of what not to do when the God of creation calls on you. But the story of this man whom God calls upon to prophesy and who responds by taking a cruise in the opposite direction, only to be swallowed by a giant tuna and vomited back upon the seashore, is much, much more than just something we can point to and say, don't do that. The book of Jonah is a whale of a satirical myth, ha 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 ha. And instead of being an example of what not to do, Jonah exemplifies simply the reality of what it is we always do. We have a tendency to throw a fit when things don't go the way we hoped they would, and we have a tendency to construct a personal faith that we think is impenetrable to outsiders, and that all we need is ourselves and God, and just this singular individualistic relationship. But along the way, Jonah's satire points toward the reality that faith is not something to be simply individually constructed or achieved. Faith is a gift given from God to all of us at the same time, always, given freely from God within all of the ups and downs of our lives, all of the ups and downs of our relationship with God. So in this story, Jonah flees from the place where he thinks God is toward the place where he hopes God isn't, a place where he thinks he'll be on his own. He flees from the community to which God calls him to prophesy, Nineveh, in order to be alone. But what he finds in his loneliness is that even success in his mission, which it is successful, he says one sentence, and the entire city of Nineveh, which is like the entire city of Las Vegas, repents, including the animals and the kings and all of that. He has a successful mission, but he finds that this loneliness, even in the success of his mission, and he finds that it's not what he's looking for. There is a tendency for us to do the same thing, like hiding from a parent when we think we're in trouble. We try to sort of escape to ourselves, pick ourselves up, make ourselves presentable, and then return to the places we consider holy. And I mean holy in a broader sense of the term, although let's narrow it down. There is a cultural tendency to sanctify places like church buildings as sites to which we come for maybe every Sunday, maybe a couple Sundays a month, maybe Christmas and Easter, and funerals and baptisms and weddings and whatever else. Even if we are at church every Sunday, or at least a few Sundays a month, though, we grasp this concept of compartmentalizing the holy to specific places. It's practically the official pastime of humanity. But surely it is in our churches, though, where something happens that doesn't happen anywhere else in quite the same way. Ideally, in churches, in gathered communities of faith, not sites, but gathered communities of faith, we find respite from what Henri Nouwen calls the great aspirations of our society, namely achievement and control. Sooner or later, if we stick to the great aspirations of our society, if we stick to this constant aspiration for achievement and control, it leads to loneliness, to isolation, to a lack of friendship and intimacy, to broken relationships, to boredom, to feelings of emptiness and depression, and a deep sense of uselessness, which fills the hearts of millions of people in a success-oriented world. But hopefully it is in our churches, in our communities of faith, where we affirm that we are not relevant because of what we achieve or what our core competencies are. We are valued simply because we are. Because that is the way our Creator creates us. It's like that saying that God doesn't call the qualified, God qualifies the called. God creates us, sustains us, and redeems us. And we are all called, just like Jonah, to accept faith as this gift and to live in a constantly renewing life in relationship with God. Now, church used to be incredibly relevant to daily life. But many of the things that the church controlled, records, governance, etc., gradually been outsourced, right? Many bemoan how society has become secularized. The church seems maybe less relevant than it used to. But secularized society is actually a great gift to the church. The secularized society is a great gift to the gathered community of faith. It's like the church has been able to strip off garments that were never really ours to begin with. We're in the process of taking off political power, taking off enormous wealth, taking off this misconception that our mythology should be opposed to what scientists are discovering every day. The church is returning to an awareness that what we are is a community seeking to be as fully human as we can possibly be, while deepening our relationship with each other and with the one in whose image we are made. Gaining this imago Dei, this image of God perspective, is something incredibly difficult to gain by ourselves. That's only one perspective. We need each other. And we read in Mark that just as Jesus began collecting disciples along the Sea of Galilee, he meets fishermen, Simon and Andrew, and then James and John. He tells them that he would give them the opportunity to fish for people, meaning that no longer would their lives merely be about their net holdings, their achievement, but that their lives would now be about faithfully engaging with other children of God. Their lives would be about living. And just in the same way as Jesus calls them and many other disciples, Jesus sends them out in the same way, two by two, in community, into the world, making disciples of all nations, even in places like Nineveh, baptizing them in the name of the triune God. As Jesus came to serve, to give us the gift of life and resurrection, to show us what life can truly be like, Jesus instructs the disciples to do the same, to pass it on. Faith is this gift that we never really achieve on our own because it's a communal gift, hard as we may try. God gives it to us freely. Our family, our friends, our brothers, our sisters, gathered in our churches, foster this gift of faith, sure. But God is the one who gives it to all of us. We don't literally need each other to survive in this way, but we need each other to truly live, to thrive, and to find recognition and value simply because we are children of God. And so, this morning, we baptize Jackson Orion Archer, which is an incredible name, by the way. It makes me wish we were doing the Star Wars Eucharistic prayer. The George Lucarist, if you will. Now, Jackson is a child who does not consent to this initiation into this community of faith any more than Jonah consented to being swallowed by a giant tuna. But it was out of that giant tuna that a miraculous and humorous prayer came forth, that the gift of faith was born in Jonah again, that life was renewed for Jonah again, even if it was kind of disgusting being vomited upon the seashore. This baptism, just like all of our baptisms, or any baptism you might have in the future if you're not baptized, these baptisms are gifts from God, just as Jackson is a gift to us, to his family, to the world. And for the rest of our lives, we will receive the renewal of faith constantly. The calling that God so persistently offers to all of us, a calling from which we cannot flee. And why would we? Amen.